Hey, this is Brian. Welcome to Crossroads. You know, before we jump into this weekend's message, it's worth noticing our country is in really, really bad shape. What an awful week, and in all likelihood, awful year, even before that, this has been for our country. I don't care if you lean right, I don't care if you lean left. All of us should agree this is not the way Jesus wants our country to operate. And I hope you feel that way. I feel that way. And we want to get you to a different place. We may not be able to get the whole country to a different place. We want to get you to a different place. The Bible says there's such a thing as a fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I normally forget one. There's probably another one in there someplace. Those are the attributes that are incredibly short supply in our culture and in our country. And those are the attributes that God wants to put inside of you. No matter what you feel, what's happening in your life and the country, those things can happen in and through you. But to do that, we're going to have to hear things that we're not hearing other places. We're going to have to do things that we might not be willing to do. We here at Crossroads want to give you something transcendent and beyond what you would get in other normal places. That includes God's timeless truth in the Bible. The Bible is an equal opportunity offender. We're not really trying to offend anybody, and we don't really care who we offend. We're trying to get you to have the fruit of the Spirit. We're trying to get you to God, because that's the place where your life will be most fruitful and most enjoyable. So let's talk about the desert today. So I'm going to talk about, it's been a tough 2020, and maybe a tough 2021. It may be dry. It may be desert-like conditions for your heart, but you can still have fruit in the midst of it.
There's a reason you aren't satisfied with the ordinary. You were made for adventure. A life with God doesn't have to be boring. It can be a pulse-pumping, heart-pounding life of purpose. And we can guide you there. The adventure awaiting you is bigger and more life-giving than you could ever imagine. Join us every weekend for 45 minutes of challenge, hope, and encouragement to guide you on your spiritual adventure.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Crossroads Church. I'm so glad that you're with us today in our second week of the Hashtag Goals series. My name is Hannah, and I am a part of the team that creates experiences for people just like you.
My name is Kyle. I'm the community pastor for Crossroads Church Online. What does that mean? I know that sounds kind of weird. It means if you're watching this, my job is to help take care of you and meet your needs, help get you to new places via new paths. One of those, by the way, might be the January kickstart.
Yes.
Here's the thing, the year that shall not be named. That's, seriously, that's what it should be, right? Left us feeling kind of stuck and not in the best place. And if you're like me, I'm hoping 2021 is a path that takes me to a new place. The January Kickstart is designed to help you and I do that. Because here's the thing, every week, new challenges will come our way.
Yeah.
And we can either face those unprepared or prepared. And this experience is designed to help give you encouragement, inspiration, and truth to guide you on a new path to a new place each and every week. And we believe you and I will get there if every week we go into the week prepared. And the Kickstart is designed to help you make that a priority in January.
Yeah, so if you want to make that a priority and build some new rhythms, you can text GOALS 2021 to 313131. Now we're going to catch up with our senior pastor, Brian Tome, as he talks about what it's like to be in a desert.
Hey, I'm Brian. Welcome to Crossroads. I'm going to talk today about a verse that I've been thinking about and meditating on for a lot of 2020. It comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God's doing a new thing. I believe that He is. And He oftentimes does a new thing in the midst of a difficult thing, or as that verse says, in the midst of a desert or a wilderness, streams and moisture coming into a dry and parched land. You might feel dry and parched.
At least that's what the statistics tell us we are, and everybody who I talk to says that they are. I recently read a publication called The Scientific American. They had a great article on our mental health in America in December, and they reported this, that we have a tripling of anxiety symptoms. We have a quadrupling of quote-unquote depressive symptoms, and we are in the midst of serious psychological distress, 3x the level that was measured in 2018. I've got a good buddy of mine who is a big addiction guru. If you have an addiction, Kurt is your man if you want to get with him somewhere in the Cincinnati area. He told me in December that normally this time of year, he said, I would have been involved with 20 funerals by suicide. And he said, this same point of the year, it's now 70, over 3x. Friends, if you're feeling worn out, or if you're feeling in the midst of stress, if you feel like I'm just tired, welcome to the club. That is America in 2021 and 2020. All of these rates that we're seeing are higher than what we saw after other large-scale traumas like September 11th or in Hurricane Katrina. These were all awful, awful things, but they happened and then it was over. Awful situation, planes hit buildings, and awful carnage for families who've lost loved ones, awful, awful. But for most of us, it was a one-time event and boom, was over. Katrina, hurricane comes up and destroys, and then it's over, and we got to rebuild and figure it out. And again, my apologies to anybody who was hit by those catastrophes personally. It was much more significant for you than it was for the most of the rest of America. But for us, this hasn't been a one-time catastrophic event. It's been a dumpster fire that just won't go out. But even a dumpster fire, that's not a good metaphor, because it does go out after a few hours, or it goes out after a couple days. So we now come up with these phrases like, these are unprecedented times. I don't know. Human race has had a lot of long-term difficulty. But for us, it is unprecedented in that we haven't been in this kind of long-term, weird, strange difficulty ever before in our lifetimes. I want to give us a new lens for today. I want us to see that we're not in unprecedented times. We're not in a dumpster fire. We're not in a cataclysmic event. We might be in a desert. We might be in a wilderness. And these things are seen in the Bible again and again and again and again. The first major one we see in the Bible comes when God's people are brought out of slavery, out of the slavery to the Egyptian nation. And they come out of slavery, and there's all kinds of crazy miracles how they get out of slavery. There's crazy miracles about how God provides them water and how he provides them meat. There's just crazy stuff that's happening. And then God says, all right, send out some spies, and I want you to see the promised land. Because the point isn't to get out of slavery. Their point was to get to a promised land. So they send 12 guys over the Jordan River to see what this promised land was going to look like. And they come back, and they're all like, man, God wasn't kidding. This place is amazing, a land flowing with milk and honey. But then 10 of the 12, they go, but it's not going to be possible. Big, huge, massive giants with their muscles on their earlobes. Okay, maybe they didn't say that, but they basically are saying, we're not going to get in there. We're not going to do it. And God just kind of loses his mind. He says, I've done miracles in your midst. You've seen my power. I've fed you. It hasn't been a day at the park, but amazing things have happened. And I've told you this is going to happen. And now you still don't believe me. You still have struggles with taking the next step. And then it says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 27 to 32, it says this. How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I've heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. God says, I'm tired of your grumbling. Everyone just say grumble four times right now. Grumble, 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 grumble. Hey, I said, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. All you people who are grumbling, all you people think this is not going to work, all of you, it means all 10 spies, minus Joshua and Caleb, who had the faith to do it, all you folks, and all the older, more cynical people, 20 years and older, you're going to wander around in this desert slash wilderness until you freaking die. And once you die, then everybody else gets to go in. You thought it could never happen? Well, I'm going to show you. It's going. Oh, I'm not going to show you. You'll see it maybe from the life hereafter. You're not going to see it yourself because you're going to wander in the deserts until you die. This is a condition that pops up in the Bible again and again and again. The condition of a desert or of a wilderness. It's the condition that we're in right now, and it's the condition we're going to talk about for the rest of our time today, because big idea for you is this. Deserts happen. There's that old bumper sticker that says, poop happens. I know that's not the real bumper sticker, but you know, grandma's watching, the children here, so just cut me some slack. You know, old bumper sticker, it says poop happens. Yes, it does. Sometimes things just go wrong that shouldn't go wrong. Yes, there is such a thing as the judgment of God. That's why Israel was in their wilderness. But also, sometimes as a normal course of life, a desert takes place and it just was there. You didn't bring it on yourself. Don't beat yourself up over it. Every great person of faith is going to go through a desert, and right now it's happening to you. Now I want to give you a survival checklist. I'm actually going to call this a wilderness survival checklist. I'm using the terms desert and wilderness synonymously. And when you're in that wilderness, you need to know how to survive. And I promise you, if you do these things, your 2021 will be better. I'm speaking, by the way, out of personal experience. I'm going to give you the process that I worked in 2020, because right now I am like one step out of the desert. My desert experiences, I've been through a bunch of deserts in my life. 2020, most of it was a desert for me. I'm a step out of it, still kind of going, and enough so that I can understand what took place back here. I want to help bring you through it. Here's what's on your checklist. Number one, no scapegoats. Don't blame anybody. That's what all the weak weenie boys and weenie girls do. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I'm in a desert. I'm going to blame somebody. Somebody else has done this to me. If you're going to have a scapegoat, there's a bunch of good options for you. Donald Trump, he's a good potential scapegoat for you. The extreme left, that's a good scapegoat for you. So is the extreme right. That's a good scapegoat for you. All the media coverage, that's a good scapegoat for you. And I'm just saying, if you're trying to find somebody to be upset with, you'll find somebody and you'll still be in your desert. You'll still be exactly where you are. Don't try to blame somebody else. Just recognize where you are and try to see what God might be teaching to you. Number two, don't forecast an endpoint. Don't say to yourself, well, next week it'll be better. Well, next month it'll be better. Well, as soon as this happens, that's, I think, false hope. You don't know when your desert's gonna end. There's too many conditions that are way beyond your control. It's interesting that story I read from the book of Numbers about Israel going through their 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't know exactly when this 40 years was going to end. Is it going to end for us when this new stimulus comes? Is it going to end for us when the election's over? Well, the election's over. Is it going to end with the inauguration? Is it going to end when the vaccine is released? I just want to say I'm pro-vaccine. I've decided I'm going to take the vaccine. I'll talk about that sometime in the future. But I'll tell you what, vaccine or no vaccine, it may change some of the conditions that we're in inside of our culture, medical conditions and emotional conditions. But if God's got you in a desert, He's trying to form you, your desert's not going to end with those things. Don't forecast the future. Just Recognize where you are. Watch every step that you're taking. Be introspective. Look to God. And number three, embrace a new kind of spiritual growth. There's a growth that you can experience in a desert that you won't experience when you're in a time of lushness. Remember, you're there for a reason. It might be the judgment of God. It might just be because God's trying to form you. He's trying to do something new inside of you. This is the way it was with Jesus. He went through a wilderness. He got baptized. It was a spiritual high. It was amazing. And then immediately he goes into 40 days of being in a wilderness. It says this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry and the tempter came. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert. There's no scapegoat here. He's not blaming anybody else. The Spirit has led him there because there's a kind of formation that Jesus is going to go through that he's not going to experience when he's getting baptized. God puts us into different environments in different seasons with different people in different situations with different problems to grow us. You gotta embrace the desert. We hate it. It sucks. But you gotta squeeze every amount of life out of it you can. And while you're in there, you've got to make sure that you're getting equipped for the things that you need. We go to church, we go to a worship environment because we want to be equipped. It's the fourth thing on the checklist. Double down on your healthy disciplines. Double down on them. When Jesus was led into the desert, when he chose to go there, he was prepared. He knew the scriptures. The evil one would come and tempt him, and he would say, no, that's not really right, because here's what the scripture says. We need to double down on these. We need to double down on reading the Bible, hearing people read the Bible to us. We need to double down on prayer. We need to double down on vulnerability. Part of how I came and I got a step or two outside of my desert was people would ask me things. While I was in there, they'd say things like, hey, how you doing? Of course, when we ask someone how they're doing, we don't expect them to be honest. We expect them to say, oh, I'm fine, how are you? Well, you know, when I was in there and said, hey, how you doing? I'd say, not good. And they'd be like, okay, why? And I'd say, man, I'm not good. I'm not sleeping very well. I'm not doing things I want to do. I'm doing things I wish I didn't have to do, like wear masks and separate myself. I've built this thing, this church. I've been a part of building this thing for 25 years. It feels like it's crumbling some days. And what's going to happen with the church, with my future? And it's tough. It's really tough. But I knew I had to vulnerably tell people where I was, to take ownership of my story and allow trusted friends to encourage me and to build into me. See, the problem is, when we're not talking with other people or we're not having the right people talk to us in the right spiritual disciplines, we do what everybody else does, and as we listen to media. I'm not trying to scapegoat them, but the media is not there to build you up. Your social media feed is not there to give you a new perspective. It's there to work you into a lather and to get you upset and to get you feeling like you're superior to somebody else. It doesn't get you closer to Jesus. You're in the desert not to get fired up. You're in the desert because God wants to form you in some way. And therefore, when you're in there, double down on your disciplines. Push yourself forward. Get with other people. Spatial distancing is one thing, but man, social distancing, we need communal connection in an incredibly safe way. Saw a fascinating study by the Gallup organization. They took a look at how Americans are feeling, and across the board, people are just not as happy as they were before. Categories like based on your gender, based on your race, based on your economic status, based on your political affiliation, your age, all of those things, down, down, down. There was only one category that was up. You know what that category was? it was religious practices. Plus 4% for those people who attend religious services. That could be inside of a traditional church building, inside of a non-traditional church building. That could be in your home where you got people gathered around. Why possibly would it be that if you're doubling down on discipline, you got a higher likelihood to feel better sooner? It's because someone's giving us life. We're in an environment where there is spiritual life. That's why we're doing this series. We've got to get on the sacred paths, the ancient paths. It's because when we're actually in communal connection inside of a spiritual environment where we're having the scriptures read to us, we recognize, oh yeah, being a person of faith means life is hard. Oh yeah, every giant of the faith I'm reading about in the Bible, they're a giant because they went through a desert. It was after Jesus' wilderness that all the teachings and all the miracles come. Don't listen to the people in the awful clothes who say, hey, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and everything's gonna be good and easy with your life so long as you're a nice person. Not true. It's not true. We get rooted if we have the right disciplines of knowing that God's forming me here and He is forming me. I'm not a random accident as a result of some big bang and godless evolution. No, my moods and my feelings don't define me. God defines my reality. He defines my reality. No one else defines my reality because I don't trust myself. God defines my reality, but you've got to be doing the right things and around the right people who are helping develop your mind. This is what you do when you're in the desert. You gotta think different and you gotta act different. I don't put my hope in some Pollyanna thinking that everything's gonna be okay. I put my hope in Jesus, who went through a desert, and so did all the other greats of God, and I will too. Fifth thing on the checklist, encourage yourself with your future strength. Encourage yourself with your future strength. Encourage yourself knowing right now I'm in a spiritual workout and I'm going to be stronger as a result of it. Why do we refer to older people as sages or having depth? It's because they've been through multiple things like we're going through right now. Inside of that publication I mentioned earlier, they said that 62.9% of 18 to 24 year olds reported an anxiety or depressive disorder. A quarter said they were using more drugs and alcohol to cope with the pandemic related stress. And a quarter said they had seriously considered suicide in the previous 30 days, so reported the Scientific American. Why is it? Is it because younger people are weaker? Older cynical generations are always cracking on the younger generations. It's not that younger people are weaker, it's just that younger people have had fewer deserts. It's maybe your first desert. It's your first wilderness. And you're building a muscle right now that's going to help you in the future. When I'm in a desert, I go, man, I'm gonna be better as a result of this. I just need to not screw things up more than they are right now. I need to just not, you know, do something really, really stupid here. Just hang on. Remind yourself, tell yourself that things are going to be better. Sixth thing, talk to God and yourself. God brings us into deserts because He wants to strip everything away from us. He wants to strip our accounts away from us. He wants to strip our accomplishments away from us. He wants to strip things. You know, when everything is going up and to the right, we tend to not need God. And I believe that's the main thing we get when we're in the wilderness is we realize I need God. And so talk to Him. Spend more time in prayer, whether it's formal prayer on your knees or whether it's just being aware and talking to Him as you drive your car. The Bible says, pray at all times without ceasing. Allow Him to strengthen you and allow yourself, your own words, to strengthen yourself. I know it sounds really weird, but follow me for a moment. We all know when someone tells you you're a loser, when someone says to you who you respect, you're never gonna amount to anything in your life. When someone says you are weak and you can't do it, those words take a toll. What's the difference with someone else telling me those words or me saying I'm a loser to myself or me saying I'm never going to get out of this or me saying I can't take this another day? I can't give myself negative talk and negatively affect myself. Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. If I'm not loving myself, I can't love my neighbor. If I'm not taking care of myself to a degree, I can't take care of my neighbor. My own health is going to determine how well I can treat somebody else. And so my words to myself are perfect. I need to say to myself, I can do this. You were made for this. I can do this. I was made for this. Your best days are now able to happen because you're stronger. I have more than I think I have in the tank. You say these things to yourself. You have other people say these things to yourself. You know that God says these things. Here's the deal. As you go through this checklist, your desert can actually end regardless of what happens with the vaccine and the rest of coronavirus. Your desert can actually end before coronavirus and everything else happens, because your desert may be blamed on coronavirus. It certainly is not helped by coronavirus, but you have to see you're where you are right now because the Spirit has led you to where you are right now. Because God is doing something in you right now that He wants to do with you right now. And the more you participate in that and don't fight it, the sooner your lesson will be over. And the sooner that your journey out of the desert can actually happen. Seventh, final thing, the checklist. Just remember that when it ends, move on. When it ends, move on. Sometimes we feel guilty, like, I don't know that I can have this end because other people are hurting. We almost have like thrivers get out of desert guilt. You know, not survivors, like thrivers get out of desert guilt because I can't really like be here. I can't really be here because everyone else is back here. Hey, no, if you're here, you're here. There will come a time when you are here. The book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, at the end of Jesus' time going and doing battle with the devil and dealing with all of the stuff, it says this, then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. I like to think, wait, I get the devil left you, but then angels came and ministered to you? If I was Jesus, I'd be saying, it would have been nice to have had an angel or two on day 29 or day 39. Then the angels came to him. It's interesting that actually he fasts and is weak 40 days in at his weakest moment. That is when the evil one comes to tempt him, when he is the most depleted, when he is the most dry, when he's clinging on just barely. When he's feeling distance from God, that's what we feel in the desert. We feel distance. I know he's working on us, but we don't feel that. Feels like he's abandoned us. Feels like he's forgotten about us. It feels like maybe he doesn't even exist. We entertain these thoughts. Then the angels came. The spiritual nourishment, the spiritual refreshment comes after the desert. It's a desert because we're not being spiritually nourished and refreshed. We're doing things, we're doing the right disciplines, we're doing the right practices. We'll maybe get little dips and drips of morsels of God in there. But it's about God coming to us. And when He comes to us, that is when the desert really ends. Your desert will end. When it does, move on.
It will end, and you will walk out. That's entirely possible. Listen, the path out of the desert is following God, which means something critical.
Yep.
It means you put God in front of you. That's where He goes. That's what worship is. We're about to worship in a couple different ways right now, but I want you to understand that. It's when you put God in front of you. There's two ways to do that are critical. One is words. It's singing songs, a lot of times, expressing out loud to God that He's first in your life. About to sing some songs, maybe you typically skip this part. Don't actually engage in it. There's a second way though, that's also equally critical, because words without actions are hollow. The second way to worship is with action.
And you know, one of the ways that Kyle and I actually act on our worship to God is through giving. And if you want to learn more about that, if you have questions, if you're wondering what it looks like to worship God through being generous, you can go to crossroads.net/give. Like Kyle said, we're about to use words that tells God who He is, that tells Him there that He is in front, set to a melody. So I want you to join us right now. Don't just consume this. Don't just watch this like this is Netflix or something else. Be a part of it with us. in a desert. I feel like I've just come out on the other side of one. And that's the good news, that if you're there right now, you are going to come out. And like Brian said, one of the ways that you get out of that space is through spiritual disciplines. And you gotta be disciplined in prayer and vulnerability. And you know, that's why my friend Tierra Wade is here with us today. She is the director of our community care team here at Crossroads. And that team is designed to care for you because you're a part of our church and we want to care for you.
My name is Tierra Wade and I lead our community care team. We are a team of people who have a passion to connect and care all those who contact Crossroads digitally. So if you are going through a desert and you need a space to be vulnerable with someone you don't know, go to crossroads.net and chat with a real life person. We are ready for you.
I hope what you're hearing is that we want to be here for you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you need prayer for, no matter what you need to talk to somebody about, please, 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 we'd love to help you. Chat in, talk to Tierra, talk to her team. We'd love to connect with you and care for you. And right now, I would love to pray for you and pray for the week that's coming up for you and just a blessing over your week. So here we go. God, thank you for everybody who took the time to watch this episode, to listen to you, to allow you to speak to them. I pray that you would do that, that you would take us all to new places. If we've been in deserts, that you'd start to lead us out. That you'd be the water that we need, God, that you would be the refreshment and the restoration that we need this week. Amen. Right, next week, we start a brand new series that I'm pretty excited about because it's about my favorite person in the history of the universe. His name is Jesus. We're doing 3 weeks on him, tackling parts of his character, parts of his mission that you have probably never considered before, but they're pretty powerful. So we'll see you for that next week.